the sports staff of the Holland Sentinel,
this is From the Press Box with your hosts, Brian Vernelis, Dan Diadonna, and Chris Zadorozny.
Hello and welcome to From the Press Box, the weekly podcast featuring the Sentinel sports staff. I am Brian Vernelis, digital director here. And last we left you, last week, Saugatuck was heading into the state championship, trying for a Division 7 title, their first ever, correct?
Yeah.
Well, let's go around the horn with introductions before I forget.
Dan Diadonna.
He is our sports editor.
Chris Zadorozny.
Assistant sports editor. Dan, you were down in Detroit, Ford Field. Tough loss for Saugatuck, but you know, you got to take a step back and look at the season as quite an accomplishment.
Oh, definitely. If you told them they'd be at Ford Field at the beginning of the year, they would have jumped for joy and possibly at that point not believed you. Yeah, it was one of those. They lost 21-0 to Pomona Westphalia, and Pomona Westphalia, it was their back-to-back state titles, and they have ousted Saugatuck in the playoffs the last 3 years in a row and four
and
last
four
five,
yeah.
Which is amazing. I actually got to talk to some Pomona players about the rivalry in the press conference after the game, and they did think it was really cool that there's a team that they play every year in the postseason. I'm sure they think it's a little cooler because they keep winning.
Yeah,
but at the same time, every game's been close. And even the coach, Jeremy Miller.
Yep.
Got to remember that. Not in my coverage zone here, but Jeremy Miller, great. I can understand why everybody loves him because he's a great coach and he seems like really, really down to earth. But he said that he really sees the mirror image of the two teams. They're both teams that have great defenses. They're teams that scrap. And obviously they're good. They're both well coached and everything. So it was kind of cool to see that in a state final. Because if I know we talked about this last week, if they were split up in different divisions the last 2 years, they might have made this might have been three in a row where they face each other in the final.
Yeah,
which is pretty cool. Although this is the most unexpected, obviously, of that. But it was 21-0. Pomona came down and scored on the very first drive, and then Saugatuck fumbled on their like second play, and gave in their own red zone, so that was short or you know or 30-yard line or something short field. Right. They scored right away again, so it was almost immediately 14-0, and then it only ended up being 21-0. Saugatuck had two possessions in the second half where they were in the red zone and then failed on fourth down or turned the ball over, and it really you take their first turnover away and put the second one. Take their first turnover away, and you put their first red zone appearance in the second half in the end zone for Saugatuck. It's a 14-7 game with 8 or 9 minutes to go.
And Pomona's quarterback was out of the game at that point.
Yeah, he had broken his hand, we think. He only played one play in the second half, and that really could have been a difference maker, but their defense was just too good. Their defense, they lost week one. I think they gave up like four touchdowns, I think. And then from week two to the state finals, they gave up one offensive touchdown combined in all 13 weeks.
Yeah, 13. That's incredible.
Which is insane. I mean, we thought Saugatuck's defense is good, and they are. Like, it was crazy. I mean, and just to hold a defending champion to 21 points when one was right off a turnover, too. I mean, that's a pretty tall order. I mean, that turnover one was not on the defense because it was less than 30 yards, I think, of a drive. So to give them two scoring drives, that defense did its job.
In the state final.
In the state finals. Yeah. The defense did its job for both teams. But Pomona was just a little bit better. But just incredible that they were even there, really.
Heck of a season. Cinderella story.
That's right.
It was awesome to see that.
Yeah, and that never happens.
Right. So spinning this forward, can they carry this into next year then as getting back to the state, getting back to Ford Field?
Well, I would have said no going into this year. Remember, at the beginning of the year, we're like, well, maybe they'll be 5-4, maybe they'll be 4-5, maybe they'll be 6-3. I don't know. They ended up 6-3, and then in the state finals. So, I guess I wouldn't rule anything out.
Who's coming back, dude?
Bradley Dunn is the all state utility
specialist.
That they picked. That's right. You've stuck in baseball for all the time. But he's back and he can make do a lot of different things, but they'll have a new quarterback.
Yep, Jackson Shriver graduate.
And their all-state middle linebacker will be gone.
Reese Schreckenghost.
Yeah, yeah, and he's something else.
That's a tough... Those are two tough
Coach Miller from Pulwamo made sure to single out Reese Schreckenghost by name as a great player in the postgame.
And he's shown that overall throughout his career.
Yeah. What a group of linebackers to have him... First team All State, Liam Cavanaugh, first team All State for West Ottawa, Boone Bonema, probably the best of the bunch, first team All State for Zeeland East, and then an honorable mention, Ross Bowman was honorable mention from Zeeland West, and
that would be a cool backfield to see.
Let's put them all on the same team. Secondary, no one will score.
That'd be great.
Yeah, man. That, but I mean, usually the better defenders. Generally are linebackers. I mean, they're the ones that get all the tackles. They're the ones that have to be in the middle of most things. But to have four All-State linebackers at once,
that's
three first-teamers, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool.
Okay. On to college football. Thanksgiving weekend is coming on, which means it's the annual matchup between Ohio State and Michigan. And another...
I was almost in my random pick. You know,
a nice start.
Yeah, right.
And then, a good start, and then they just kind of just stopped.
So Michigan lost, what is that, five in a row now?
Six, I think, right?
Maybe six.
Okay.
The last one, I think, in 2011.
Nine out of the last 10 they've lost. Nine out of the last 10. Something
I think
like that
might be right, yeah.
All right.
Getting a little one-sided.
If you look at the Wikipedia page, it's just all red with a couple of blues there and there, and that's about it.
Yeah.
It's not a good look for Michigan right now.
Yeah.
That's the first and last time you'll hear a journalist refer to a Wikipedia page.
Sorry. It's a great source, though. It shows you all the scores. It doesn't happen very often, though.
So there was rumors of Harbaugh before the game getting a lifelong extension. Take that with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
So, where does Michigan go from here? I mean, they've got Harbaugh's strength at this point is his recruiting, and he's been known to be that developer of quarterback talent, i.e. Andrew Luck. There's rumor he's losing his passing coordinator, Pep Hamilton.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that.
Is that still
it's
up
all
in the
possible.
Air? Is it?
I mean, okay. Anything can happen with the coaching carousel in the offseason.
Yeah.
Especially with so many... coaching changes
like
already.
Crazy changes, actually.
Yeah, this is a little early. Usually get one about now, but we had five or six.
I retweeted. I think it was Joe Rexrode from former Lansing State Journal, who's now down in Tennessee. He tweeted out, that whole Harbaugh is God thing was overrated when Harbaugh first got there, and this everyone saying that he should be fired and he's going to be on the hot seat. That's a bit overrated. It should be somewhere in the middle. And I was like, that's kind of a fair point. How do you guys see that?
Well, Chris posted on his social media that Harbaugh is on the hot seat, so I'm going to let him start.
Thanks for giving me that platform, Dan. He absolutely should be on the hot seat. I don't think the majority of people are going to agree with me, but he should be on the hot seat. People are going to ask me why. He has winning records so far this 3 years at Michigan. Great. But he doesn't have winning records against top-level teams, against Michigan State or Ohio State.
Yeah.
Or Notre Dame, for that matter. He doesn't have those records. And if you were to ask any Michigan fan, would you rather have a winning record and not beat these three teams, or would you rather beat these three teams and not have a winning record? I think the majority would say they'd rather beat the three big teams and not have a winning record. Maybe.
An interesting take.
That's at least my thought.
I don't know if I would go out on a limb and say the majority.
Well,
some people would think that.
Yeah.
Because that's a successful season when you win those games.
Yes. He hasn't won the big games. Now, he has some issues at quarterback. He came in with Brady Hoke's quarterbacks, and it's been some changes throughout that, with O'Korn being a transfer, with I can't think of the guy's name at the Lions now, last year from Iowa, Riddick. No, Rudock. Jake Rudock, sorry. Yeah. he was a transfer, so he hasn't really had a chance to play his recruited quarterback, so I'll give him the benefit of the doubt there. Peters played. He got injured.
O'Korn's moving on now.
O'Korn's gone. Spate's transferring.
Spate's transferring. Excuse me.
But you're right. O'Korn is graduating.
Yes.
We'll see if he plays the bowl game. I'm sure he will. But he hasn't had a chance to show his quarterbacks yet. So I will give him that benefit of the doubt. But he hasn't won the big games. And it's kind of like, well, when are you going to win?
Shut up. Yep.
When are you going to win? I think he... is on the hot seat going into next season, where he needs to win these games. He's going to have his players are all been playing now. These are all his recruits. This is his fourth year, so this should be it. No more Hoke players. These are all, they're all gone, right? This should be it for all the Hoke players.
He really has no excuse. The offensive line will have a year.
Yep, exactly.
To have gelled. He's got his stable of running backs coming back.
You're going to have Peters and McCaffrey probably battling out for the starting job, which will be great. That should be a great battle to watch out.
And his defense should be top-notch again.
Yeah, they absolutely should be. But if they aren't, where he can recruit, but where is the progress of the season? That's what I want to see. And I have not been seeing that, unfortunately.
Unfortunately. The next question is, well, they're kind of, I mean, where would you go from there then?
Everyone asked me, oh, who would you replace with Harbaugh? I don't know. I don't have an answer for that. But the fact of the matter is he's not getting the job done. So go out and find someone that you think can. I'm not that person that's going to be in charge in finding that. I don't really know who that's going to be. My pick was Les Miles a while ago. I said that last week, but I don't know who you're going to get. I really don't know who you're going to get. I don't know. Is there somebody better out there? There could be. But you're not going to stick. You shouldn't stick with the same guy just because you get the same record every year and not being the big teams. At some point, you got to make a change.
Well, I would say that he can coach.
Oh, yeah.
He has the track record. He's shown that ability. You might run into the problem then, like they did with last time, when they had to scramble to get Rich Rod. Then they had to scramble to get Brady.
Yep.
Everybody says that Michigan is this elite program, and let's face it, Michigan State has probably been the top football program in the state for the last
decade.
Yeah.
I would agree. Yeah.
So if it's not, if Michigan isn't the number one, you know, I thought it was amazing. They got Harbaugh to begin with. It sounded like something out of Mission Impossible where, you know, guys were flying in and flying out. I don't know if Les Miles would want to.
No, he wasn't even part of this last search.
Yeah.
No, he wasn't. No.
They screwed him over the first time when they hired Rich Rod because they wouldn't let him.
So now you're going to tell your alum, we're going to dump Harbaugh for Les Miles, and they're going to look at you like.
I actually thought Harbaugh would end up coaching Michigan, but not yet. Like, I thought in his own career, I thought he would camp out and retire from Michigan, but I thought it wouldn't happen for 5 or 10 years.
Right.
So it's just interesting. There's so many different layers of this. First of all, I will just be so we don't get some calls later. Harbaugh has never coached against Notre Dame on Michigan. They haven't played the last 3 years.
You're right.
He can't have a losing record against them because they haven't played.
You're right. Thank you for correcting me on that.
I had to look it up, though. I didn't know. I was like,
I thought for sure they had played Notre Dame.
Huh. I wonder if they played. So there's so many layers. So first of all, I agree that there should be some sort of I don't think he's on a hot seat because I don't think they're going anywhere else. You can't be on a hot seat if there's rumors of a lifetime,
right?
You know, which I think is I can't believe anybody would do that for anyone.
And
I mean, unless we know something about his health that we don't know, which is just awful. Like so, I think that that doesn't make any sense either.
And that doesn't fit the mold of the AD. I'm drawing a blank on his name, Manuel.
Yeah, that doesn't fit.
No.
So it's just interesting, but. So there's two. So let me give you a couple things that'll lead you one way, then the other way. So okay. So last year, they were poised to make the playoff. They were
definitely.
They were ranked there. Their defense was spectacular. They were there the whole time, and they lost their last three games of the year, mm-hmm. which is insane. Given that, what that defense is capable of, and how good they really were. I mean. Losing at Iowa, lots of people lose at Iowa. That's probably the hardest place to play in the Big Ten is Iowa.
Yeah,
and I mean pound for pound, you know, I mean everybody has trouble going to the Big House or the Horseshoe or whatever. But seems like everybody has trouble going to Michigan State right now too. So, so that to me is unacceptable.
Yes.
You also need to realize he's only been here 3 years. So for his recruits. To fully come through, I know he's playing a lot of young kids, but he hasn't been able to get a full group. I don't think any college coach unless at a, especially a big program, unless they're abysmal, should not get four, at least 4 years.
Right.
Because I think then you're just putting yourself in that same train every time. And it happened with Rich Rod. Rich Rod left. Brady Hoke's first year with all of Rich Rod's recruits, they won the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah, it was great.
Like, that's ridiculous, you know? And that was, I mean, Rich Rod, honestly, Rich Rod was not great at Michigan. It didn't really fit the way, but he got a raw deal. Like,
he certainly did.
It was not his fault. That was not his fault.
He wasn't the guy they wanted anyway.
The administration just kind of rushed things and made a couple of mistakes, and he just kind of got hung out to dry. And what did he go to? Went to Arizona, made them a bowl team.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And they've been pretty good.
Yeah, and they've been good since. So I don't think his system was right for Michigan.
I agree, yeah.
But that's not his fault. They hired him for the system, knowing that that was his system. But now on the flip side, you got to give Harbaugh real time to develop this. But then also, you think about it. So he's 1-5 against Michigan State and Ohio State combined, which is awful.
Right.
But if the kid could punt the ball the one time, then that's 2-4.
Yeah.
And if the first down got called correctly last year, that's 3-3. I mean, it's still, you know, it's 2-1 against Michigan State and 1-2 against Ohio State, but Ohio State's been a playoff team. It doesn't look that bad. So I feel like it's not his fault that kid didn't punt the ball, for one.
Yep.
Now, granted, they probably should have got a first down rushing on that drive first, but again, he's making the call. The kid's got to execute. And it's not his fault that the refs had that weird first down, not sure. I understand the call in the field, but to me, looking at the replay, I don't know what they were looking at. You know, and to have the game and basically the playoff chances end on that was just brutal. So to me, you gotta kind of play it as he's 3-3 against the two biggest rivalries, which is still not great.
And even though they did lose, you can see that they are gaining on Ohio State.
Oh, they played so much better this year. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, their first quarter on Saturday was fantastic.
Right. And did somebody at Ohio State mention that or recognize that fact? I can't remember if somebody on the team or one of the coaches recognized that. All I remember is Urban was going off on one of the cameramen knocking his camera.
Which we're still not really sure if it was a cameraman or just somebody on the sidelines, but he was pissed, and understandably so, and he is absolutely right. There are too many people on the sidelines at football games.
It's really cramped.
Considering how much security there is everywhere at big college football games and just big sporting events in general, there's so many people that I don't always know what they're doing on the field. Now, if you're a photographer, you're a photographer. That guy, whoever it was, you saw the video of Barrett explaining it. Like, he physically stood up and showed how all this happened. I can't believe that it was made up, you know.
No, there was a video out there.
And Barrett himself said he didn't think anybody tried to hurt him. He thought the guy tried to squeeze through and didn't make it. And it was just stupid.
No, TMZ released a video about this. And it just panned away as some guy was walking in. And then someone in the crowd yelled, "Barrett just got hit." And you can see a camera guy with a camera in his right hand down by his knees.
Video camera?
Like a large TV camera.
Yeah, TV camera, yeah.
And he's walking right by Barrett, and he had just passed, and Barrett turns around and tries to walk after him and like yell at him or something like that. Mm-hmm. It doesn't show it on the video what had happened because he had panned, the person that was videoing it had panned away from it. But it was quickly back where you could see something had happened.
Interesting.
So, and it was a tight spot because right near the sidelines there was a big, giant crate. And then between that was Barrett, and there's a small walkway.
Right.
So
that it was poor judgment.
It looked like it was poor judgment / an accident.
Right.
It didn't look malicious at all.
It's just interesting too, because a TV camera, they don't let like the Detroit and Grand Rapids stations down there. So it had to be part of the live TV,
most likely Fox,
ABC or Fox. Yeah, it was Fox. Excuse me, crew. So that's another thing. So it's funny that Urban Meyer, too many people on the sideline. Well, that's your live TV, part of your live TV. He's not going anywhere.
That's what the NFL did when they, a few years ago, decided we're going to start cutting down on how many sideline credentials were given out.
Yeah.
Because I remember a lot of local guys when I was in Louisiana, all of a sudden, you know, they were getting access to Saints games. All of a sudden, nope, sorry, you're not getting on the field because there's too many people down there.
Right. We were in the same boat. Not that we, I mean, we had a couple of years where we had somebody like a Stringer columnist that was already covered the Lions for us a little bit. But yeah, we were basically told by the Lions, and correctly so, that we wouldn't be able to be get photographer stuff for us, except for Kirk Cousins' game. If he's here, they would allow that, which is great. But at the same time, well, I'm not shooting as good as the AP, so I'll just let them. I'll just let them keep shooting. But yeah, they were cracking down big time on that. It's changed quite a bit, and they should. I mean, there are too many people. I mean, and it's not just photographers. There's too many everything out there. It's such a cluster. I mean, there's got to be times where there's
celebrities and recruits and
and Michigan always has so many people. Yeah, Aaron Judge. Well, I mean, like, Michigan always has so many people on the sideline with their own passes, which I'm sure that doesn't help either. But they're on their own side. But they're just there's something waiting to happen. You got cheerleaders, dance team. I mean, the band is supposed to, they're only there at, you know, coming off the pregame and then at halftime. Yeah. But like when they're playing Michigan State, Michigan State's band is in their corner on the field.
Right.
You're just waiting for a football, you know, some football player to be go flying in up in the air to catch, come down, land awkward on the side of a tuba, and you know, or something, and just like slice himself up or something, or a cheerleader, you know, slips and is whatever and comes down on Aaron Judge, and then his career's ruined. You know, like, I mean, like, just because he's on the sideline. I mean, like, it's too much. You never see that in other sports.
It's always packed.
I mean, basketball's got too many things too, but it's mostly, if you look at basketball, it's camera people and cheerleaders, and that's it. And team people. That's it.
Yeah.
There's not enough space for anybody else. Usually the VIPs are all up in the suite or whatever So I don't really get what the field or the sideline appeal like. Like if I was Aaron Judge, it's cool to be on the sideline for like a little bit, but I can't see. Like I mean, he can. He's like 8 feet tall. But like, you know, when they have other people there, like
I think that's photo ops.
You're either way down. Yeah, you're either way down, and you're not being, you know, you're not in a good vantage point, or you're behind the whole team and you can't see anything.
Yeah.
So I don't really know.
Yeah. Hopefully Bear can play. I mean, I hope he does, because it would be a great game against Wisconsin on Saturday.
It was not a issue at Central when I was shooting. There was not too many people up at the Central game.
I'm sure
shooting. That was awful. That was great. So I went to see Corey Willis's senior day, which was great. He was, you know, one of the best players to come out of here. He's Central's third all time leading receiver. He just passed Antonio Brown in all time touchdown catches with the game winning catch on fourth down on his senior day, a minute and a half to go on Friday. Talk about the easiest story I've ever written. But yeah, I mean, I was on the field shooting pictures of him and stuff like that. There's nobody on the field. And it was a Friday after Thanksgiving, so there's hardly anybody in the stands. I was like, wow, maybe they should have done senior day, like, you know, a different day, like the week before or something. But being a Central grad, I've been to a million Central games. I've never seen it that empty in there. It was really strange.
The day after Thanksgiving, belly.
The student section was three rows and then a 250 member band. That was it. Three rows. The band was loud and proud, but it was kind of a bummer. But it was in that regard. But yeah, we don't have those sideline issues everywhere, I guess we'll just say.
Yeah.
Well, as football winds down, basketball begins to start up. The girls' season started this week.
Tonight.
There you go. So
Tuesday night.
Tuesday night. Yeah.
Boys basketball tips off
next Tuesday.
So we talked girls basketball last episode. Gentlemen, boys basketball, who's in it to win it this year?
Are you ready to go?
Feel free to start, Dan.
All right. Well, we know West Otto is going to be good. The West Otto boys team last year, their only two losses of the year were to number one Grand Rapids Christian. And one was during the season and it was close. And the other one was in the regional final where, what are they, down 17 or 18?
I think they're down 17 in the fourth quarter.
And then they came back and tied it.
Yeah.
And then Grand Rapids Christian had a last second dagger to beat them, which is awful.
Yeah.
When you come all the way back, you almost rather lose by 40.
It was a great game. Great basketball game. Packed house in Grand Haven for that.
But I mean, that's their first, was it their first district title? Was their second?
I think it was their first district title.
Their first red outright, right? Because they shared the year, or maybe, I don't know. But their 2 years ago was their first red title, I think.
I think it was the first outright title and first district title.
Right, and now they got both of those. So, and that's the same thing that we saw in football, too. I mean, this is exciting. Like, West Ottawa is the 10th biggest school in the state, and they, you know, they've barely made the playoffs a bunch of times, you know, in the last 20 years or something like that. But they've never had a, they only had one before this year, since I've been here, one real team that I thought was going to do something, and that was a team that had Verhelst, who's on Saginaw Valley now, and that was the year that they lost to Rockford twice, and one of them was on Verhelst scored on a punt return, but then it was called back. They would have won the game, and then it was called back for a penalty, and you know, a couple things like that. But for basketball, this is it. Like, this is, they've finally gotten back to this point. They've had D1 players come through here since I've been here, but they've never, I mean, just being Class A in the OK Red and everything, they've just never had the full team. They've always underachieved a little bit. And this last year was fantastic. I mean, the last 2 years have been fantastic to watch them grow. And they got a lot coming back. I mean, Jake Van Tuberian's at Grand Valley now.
But you got X and Drew Pedersen.
Right. And two great Tyler pieces. Tyler
Bosma as well.
I mean, this is like,
you got three great pieces right there.
Yeah. Who's going to, I mean, they're both, yeah, they're all going to be college players. X will probably end up playing football. Xavier Wade, for those who don't know.
Actually, Tyler's playing baseball in Miami.
And Tyler's playing baseball. So. Oh, yeah.
Division one
baseball. So they all could play college basketball.
They're all good enough to do
that. But that's how, what kind of athletes are getting there. They're playing everything. And, it's really exciting because their games are really exciting to be at. I mean, and there's the student section, the Black Hole, has been always been great, even when they've been bad. And it's just a new excitement there. And you need that at one of your big schools, you know, especially. They've been, we got swimming and we got tennis and baseball's been good. They've won state title in baseball and, they, you know. But now it's like, hey, football, hey, basketball, all right. Oh, they had rugby, of course, excuse me. Rugby's been, you know, kind of a powerhouse. But it's just interesting now to see that. Now, and their soccer has gotten better over the last couple of years, too. It's good to see it balance out. So they're going to be the team to beat around here for sure. It's going to be interesting to see how the rest of the teams, because they got new coaches, and they have graduated a lot. Like Holland.
Holland has no longer Demetrius Lake.
Right, and no longer Chapman. He's coaching the West Idaho girls now. So you got Corey Walters. We'll see what he can do as a coach with kind of a fresh group, really. Yeah. I mean, you'll have Isaac Castle, and there'll be some pieces there. But
you don't have that go-to guy now. You know, you really got to – for Holland, they really have to be more of a team-centric. I mean, you can go give it off to Demetrius, and he'll just do whatever. He was great to watch. But now – you don't have that one standout player. So they really have to come together,
which sometimes is really good for a team.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But you got to be able to pull together.
I'm not sure what I'm going to make of them this year.
I mean, like if each player on that team can score 8 points, they're going to win a lot of games.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's going to happen yet though. And then we got David Cool as the new coach for Holland Christian. He's been coaching at Jenison and. He was a great player at Western Michigan. He's a West Michigan guy. He knows the deal. It'll be interesting. They're playing their home games at DeVos Fieldhouse this year because all the spacious. Civic Center stuff. I don't know. It's going to be weird, but could be really great. I mean, they just the last time they tried this, they were just really bad, and it looked empty all the time in there. There's just the excitement wasn't there. Even the Civic Center has excitement, you know. There, but yeah, those will be the most interesting storylines to go. I mean, Hamilton's got some pieces. Zealand East, Zealand West have, you know, it's just what pieces are going to come together.
Yeah.
I mean, man, Berghorst is like 7 feet tall now. So that,
with that experience, he's able to
that hopefully
help them out a little bit more.
Right. So, that'll help Zealand East a bit. But there's so many question marks, kind of like when we started the football season, and then everybody was good.
Yeah.
So
same could be said for Saugatuck and Fenville and Cavalry and Black River. They all kind of have those pieces. We'll see if they can come together.
I'm really interested to see what happens with Saugatuck because once again, Blake Dunn's gone. They got they have lost a lot of players over the last couple years. A lot of their height too, their skill, their best player, and their two big guys. That's tough to come back from, but we've seen them do it in other sports. It's time for that transition, but I'm really interested to see how that goes. And then that Saugatuck-Fenville rivalry is the best small-town rivalry in the state by far. It's got to be. I mean, it never I might make the argument that it's the best in our area. I mean, I think that Holland versus Holland Christian is the hot ticket.
Yeah.
When you had, especially when you're playing in the Civic Center and the Dutch Dome. Now we just have the Dutch Dome in DeVos, so it's going to be a little bit different. But the skill of their teams ebbs and flows a lot. Saugatuck and Fenville are always good, and the rivalry is sick. Their whole both towns come out for both.
Yeah,
for both games, home and away, and it's packed in there, standing room only. It looks like you're in some sort of Hoosiers movie, you know, or something. But neither one of those teams ever goes like more than a year with a down year. Like at least they're average or better.
Yeah. It was fun to watch.
Those games
last
are always
year.
Great. So and their girls' games are always good too, or mostly good. And that adds it too. And that hasn't been the case in the Holland Christian girls rivalry right. either lately. I mean, Holland's made some strides, but you know, Holland Christian has been clearly dominant in that girls rivalry. So looking forward to that. So anybody that's not been to a Saugatuck Fenville basketball game, Brian, I recommend you go. There's not really anything quite like it. There's too many. I mean, it's great basketball for one, but it's just a different atmosphere and a different feel, and there's a different level of different kind of excitement. Yeah. I mean, it's not necessarily even a different level. A good Holland Christian game brings just as much excitement, but it's a different kind when it's more intimate. It's
not to get all snooty on you, but I did live in Indiana for 5 years.
All right,
so
this will be the closest you get to that. This will be the closest you get to that. But it's fun, and they're like I said, their girls' rivalry, and since the whole their rivalry used to be pretty fierce, and now we had the whole Wes Leonard passing, and you know all they. They have the never forgotten games in his honor still. This will be the sixth year, I think, that they've had that. And that has added a different portion of the rivalry. Now, the respect, I mean, there's always the respect that the other one was good, but it's almost like it's almost like a Zealand East-West where they're the same on that night. They're like two of the same team. It's the same family, yeah. But two different teams. And that also heightens it though, because it's kind of like a sibling rivalry,
yeah,
which is kind of cool. But anyway, it's definitely worth going to check out. And then we're gonna have this OK Green gauntlet with everybody. Dude, the girls too. I don't know, like the girls OK Green is gonna be crazy. It's gonna be like both OK Greens will have a little bit of a Big Ten feel where everybody just kind of beats up on each other and some people survive. And no one's going undefeated.
Yeah, no, there's no way
they're gonna get knocked down. There's pretty no good. Way. Everybody is. It's gonna be one of those. You know, it might be one of those years where everybody is, let's see, 12, everybody is 8-5 or 5, you know, 6-7, yeah, something like that, like 7-5, something like that, or 8-4, yeah. It could be interesting. Or four teams are 8-4 and the other teams are 4-8, I don't know.
It's like football, right?
Yeah, it's just kind of crazy.
Well, there you go. Final thoughts before we wrap it up? Harbaugh needs to go, Chris says.
Give it a year. He's on hot seat, but give it a year.
Give it a year. Okay.
Also, the Hope women moved up from 13th to 7th in the D3hoops.com ranking. They are one place behind Trine right now. So, going to be a competitive year for the MIAA, I think, for those two teams.
Interesting how, I mean, Calvin doesn't have football, but Hope Trine was really big. Hope Trine is going to be big again. Now, Calvin women are going to be good again, too, basketball wise. But this could be all like Hope Trine all the way across the board could be the rivalry of the year rather than Hope Calvin, which is really now it'll still be. Don't get me wrong, Hope Calvin is still the rivalry. But as far as the two top teams going at it,
as far as winning the MIAA, the dynamics of those two teams right there
for sure. So it's going to be interesting.
Well, Kornheiser and Willebon can't hold a candle to you two. So, folks, if you could only be in this room with me to watch the magic happen. Right.
It's fun.
So, I want to thank you all for listening. We will be wrapping it up. I'm Brian Vernellis, along with
Dandy Adana
and
Chris Zadorozny.
Thank you all for listening. We'll see you next week.